يسلمك، كيف أمورك؟
والله بخير الحمد لله، الله يصلح حالك.
جاهزين؟
جاهزين نعم إن شاء الله.
إن شاء الله. أنا كان لك
كريم أظن. نعم كريم آخر مرة ترجم. وصلنا عند
الآن بيكون عندنا الله سبحانه استكمال نواقض الوضوء.
نعم 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 نواقض الوضوء.
نعم استكمال. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. تكلمت في درس سابق عن نواقض الوضوء، أولا ما خرج من السبيلين القبر والدور، ما خرج من السبيلين القبر والدور من بول أو غزي أو غنيم أو غائط أو ريح مع الأدلة، الثاني من زوال العقل ومسح الفرج بشهوة. قبل نحن يعني نتكلم اليوم يعني عن زوال العقل وعن مس الفرج بشهوة إلى آخره إن شاء الله. فنقول من نواقض الوضوء زوال العقل بجنون أو إغماء أو نحوه، لأنه أبلغ من النوم. يعني إذا كان النوم ينقض الوضوء، والكلام سيأتي إن شاء الله عز وجل حول النوم وذكر الخلاف مجملا فيه، لكن هذا زوال العقل هو أبلغ من النوم. إذا كان قليل النوم يعني مجهزا للوضوء وناقضا الوضوء، فكيف بزوال العقل؟ زوال العقل من جنون أو إغماء، لأن الإنسان فيما يغمى عليه مظنة أن يخرج منه شيء، كما أن هذه المظنة موجودة في النوم. إذا نام الإنسان مظنة خروج يعني شيء من الريح، فهذا زوال العقل لجنون أو إغماء أو نحوه، هذا كله ينقض الوضوء.
نعم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So last time we discussed the nullifiers of the wudu, and we talked about we discussed whatever comes out of the two private parts, from urine or from defecation or from semen or from madhi pre-seminal fluid, any of that, whatever comes between from the two private parts. And also we discussed the zawal the second thing that nullifies the wudu is loss of consciousness. The third is touching the private part with desire. So as for the loss of consciousness or loss of consciousness, and that is, it nullifies the wudu because it is more severe than sleeping. And we will discuss regarding sleeping and the difference of opinions regarding it in a general way. But if sleeping in general, if sleeping nullifies the wudu and loss of consciousness is further and more severe than sleeping, then it is more obvious that it nullifies the wudu as well. And that is because when one loses his consciousness, then by that there's a chance that he would that something would come out of him from the private parts without him knowing it. Likewise with sleeping, if a little bit of sleeping, a person cannot control what comes out of his private parts. Similarly, that with it is more obvious with loss of consciousness, And when we say loss of consciousness or loss of the mind, meaning if somebody goes crazy or somebody faints, so any way where a person loses his mind due to going crazy or due to fainting. نعم تفضل شيخ. في هل هذا يشمل المرأة والرجل؟
نعم.
جزاك الله خير. So the third point that nullifies the wudu is touching the private part with desire. Touching the private part with desire. And that is because of the hadith of Busra bin Safwan, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you touches their private part, then they should make wudu. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, if one of you touches their private part, if one of you reaches with their hand to touch their private part, and there is no veil between the hand and the private part, then he should make wudu. So the hadith of Abu Huraira indicates that if a person touches the private part directly and there are no veil between the hand and the private part, then he should make wudu. He or she, that includes the man and the woman. Wa an Talq ibn Ali, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about a man touching his private part after he makes wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and it is not except a part of you, indicating that the private part is just like any other part of the body, just like a nose or the face. Person touching the face or the nose, similarly touching the private part, will not affect the wudu. So here, to combine the understanding between these two different narrations, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions here that to combine between the hadith of Busra bin Safwan radiallahu anha and the hadith of Talq radiallahu anhu, that the first hadith of Busra, which indicates that touching the private part nullifies the wudu, it is taken as touching it with desire. And the second hadith, the hadith of Talq, indicates that touching it with no desire is just as touching any other part in the body. And this is what is felt from this, from the statement, and understood from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, and it is not except another part of you, indicating that, I mean, if you touch your private part the same way you will touch your nose, or the same way you touch your face with no any emotion, any desire involved, then in this situation it is said it is just another part of your body, it doesn't affect your wudu. But when the touching is based when the touching of this private part is out of desire, that's when it indicates the wudu. Now, stop the second. شيخ
تسمعني؟
نعم هلا سامعك، بس اول شيء ما كنت سامع.
انا خلاص شيء بس
انا نعم تفضل.
عرفني عن اكل ولحم الابل قال الطالب في مرض الغرام قال نعم وهو المكان الذي يعني تقوم فيه الغرام الموضع الذي ترغب فيه الغرام المرضت جمع مرض هو الموضع الذي ترغب فيه الغرام يعني تقيم فيه قال الطالب في مرض الغرام قال نعم قال الطالب في مبارك الإبل وهو الموضع الذي تبر فيه الإبل قال لا قال لا على كل حال هو الحديث اللي هو توضع من حول الإبل ويوضعه حديث جابر الآتي رضي الله عنه جابر بن ثورة رضي الله عنه يقول كنا نتوضع من لحوم الإبل ولا نتوضع من لحوم الغنم الإمام الشوكاني رحمه الله ينقل عن عدد جمع من العلماء أنهم يقولون بأن ذلك ينقض الوضوء يقول وقد ذهب إلى انتقاض الوضوء بأكل لحوم الإبل وقد ذهب إلى انتقاض الوضوء بأكل لحوم الإبل أحمد بن حنبل وإسحاق بن راهوي ويحيى بن يحيى والمنذر وابن خزيمة والبيهقي وحكي عن أصحاب الحديث وحكي عن جماعة من الصحابة كما قال النووي يعني جمع كبير من العلماء وأصحاب الحديث وجماعة من الصحابة يعني رضي الله عنهم يقولون بأن أكل لحوم الإبل ينقض الوضوء فلحوم الإبل يعني الحديث حديث جابر الأول دل على أن ذلك ينقض الوضوء توضأوا من لحوم الإبل قال نعم فتوضأ من لحوم الإبل وقول جابر رضي الله عنه كنا نتوضا من لحوم الابل ولا نتوضا من لحوم الغنم وانا قبل كلام الامام الشوكاني رحمه الله
And the fourth thing that nullifies the wudu is the eating of the meat of the camels. Jabir radiallahu anhu, Jabir ibn Sumra, he said that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I make wudu from eating the meat of the goats and sheep? He said, if you wish, then make wudu. If you don't wish, then don't make wudu. He said, should I make wudu from the eating the meat of the camel? He said, yes, make wudu from the meat of the camels. And he said, should I pray where the goats, sheep, they lay down? He said, no. The man asked the Prophet, should I pray where the sheep, they lay down? He said, yes, you can pray where the sheep lay down. The man said, should I pray where the camels lay down and sit down? He said, no, do not pray where the camels sit down. And Jabir, the same Sahabi radiallahu anhu, also narrated and he said, we used to make wudu from when we eat the meat of the camels and not make wudu when we eat the meat of the sheep or goat. And Shawkani rahimahullah, he gathers statements from many of the scholars indicating that the eating of the meat of the camels nullifies the wudu. Amongst them is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ishaq ibn Rahuya and Yahya and ibn Mundhir and ibn Khuzayma and Bayhaqi and the people of Hadith and a group of the Sahaba, as Nawawi rahimahullah said, that all of them, they go with the opinion of that eating the camels of the meat nullifies the wudu because of the Hadith of Ibn Sumra, when the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I make wudu from eating the meat of the sheep? He said, if you wish, you can. And if you wish to make wudu, then do so. If you don't wish, then don't. And when he said, should I make wudu from eating the meat of the camels? He said, yes, make wudu from the meat of the camels. Naam, Shah.
اختلف العلماء على قولين في مسألة النوم أقنع الله عدم نقض الوضوء بالماء. فاستدل بمثل حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو بمثل يعني قول أنس رضي الله عنه، كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ينامون ويصلون ولا يتوضؤون. قد أردت رضي الله عنه قال كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينامون ثم يصلون ويتوضؤون. وبقول رضي الله عنه أن أنس أقيمت صلاة العشاء فقال رجل لي حاجة، قام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يناجيه يعني يحدثه سرا حتى نام القوم أو بعض القوم ثم صلوا يعني بعد ما نام بعض القوم صلوا من غير يعني بمعنى من غير وضوء. هذا استدل به يعني العلماء الذين يرون أن الوضوء أن الناس استدل من رأى أن الله ينقل الوضوء بحديث خسران بن عفان رضي الله عنه قال كان يأمرنا أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كنا كفرا أو مسافرين ألا ننزع كفافنا بما خف ثلاثة أيام ألا ننزع كفافنا يعني مدة ثلاثة أيام غريبين إلا من جنابة لكن من غائط يبين ولو يعني النبي عليه السلام كان يأمرهم إذا كانوا مسافرين ألا ينزع الخفاف ثلاثة أيام ولياليهم ألا ينزع خفافنا ثلاثة أيام ولياليهم إلا من جنابة يعني إذا أصيبوا جنابة ينزعون هذا ولو كان يعني خلال هذه الأيام، لكن من غائط وبول ونوم يعني لا ينزع الخفاف من غائط وبول ونوم يعني إذا خرج من غائط أو خرج من بول أو نام يحتاج إلى وضوء فلا يلزمه أن يخلع الخلق ويجيب إلى المسح. هذا تحدثنا في الدرس الماضي، لكن الشاهد الآن هو قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إلا من جنابة لكن من غائط وغير نوم، فهذا يدل على أن النوم ناقض مطلقا. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عم كل نوم ولم يخص قليله من كبيره، ما خص من سلم قال هذا قليل وهذا كبير، لا ولا حال من حال متمكن غير متمكن. ويؤيده حديث علي رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بكاء السبي العلمان فمن نام
فهذا يدل على أن النوم
ناقض الوضوء، الداء السني العينان، كما نام فليكن، يعني مجرد أن ينام كأن هذه الضربة التي عليها الخيط انفتح، كانت الخيط فالفردة خرج فيها ما فيها من الريح، قد يخرج ما فيها من الماء. العينان يعني الكلام السني العينان، هذا يعني عبارة عن غبار، يعني العينان يطلق الإنسان بسبب من خروج هذا يعني الريح مثلا من الإنسان. فدل هذا على أن النوى ينقض الوضوء، هذا هو الراجح. ثم حاول يعني هناك من العلماء من تكلم يعني حول هذا الكلام، فقالوا انه يشكو اذا تدل فيه العلماء على الجواز انما هو عباره عن اثر، يعني يحدث انس
I'm going to go to the next one. 3 days. from, but as from defecation or urination or urine or sleeping, then we don't have to take off our socks for 3 days. So he indicated in this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ needs to tell them that they can keep wearing their shoes or their socks for 3 days and its nights without taking them off. Even if they were to defecate or urinate or sleep. So in that it indicates that sleeping goes along with your defecation and urination in the same ruins that they nullify the wudu. And another hadith supporting this hadith of Safwan, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the real scholars that combine between these, the actions of the Sahaba and the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some said that it is always the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are taken as stronger evidence than the actions than actions in general, and specifically if they were actions of Sahaba. So the actions of the Sahaba or some of the Sahaba showed that they didn't make wudu after Salah. But the statements of the Prophet ﷺ came in clear, indicating and detailing this matter and mentioning explicitly that sleeping nullifies the wudu. And another scholars, they mentioned that it might have been these actions of the Sahaba where before this ruling came down that sleeping actually nullifies the wudu. And then the ruling came clear from Rasulullah sallallahu indicating that sleeping nullifies the wudu, goes along with other purification and urine and defecation. And Allah knows best to get away from this difference of opinion is state that sleeping is the when a person sleeps, it is, there is a doubt that it could, that something could come out, that wind could pass. And some would argue that, well, it depends on the type of sleep. If it's a light sleep, if a person has control a little bit over himself, or if it's not heavy sleep, he's sitting up. But this is not valid, because Rasulullah's statement was clear, stating that the rope that holds that from anything coming out is the two eyes. If you sleep, then you make wudu. And he didn't mention what type of sleep, and he didn't specify if it's a light or heavy sleep. So, by that, one is best, we leave the difference of opinion, and we go with the more correct opinion, which is that sleeping light or heavy nullifies the wudu. Now, I'm checking. Thank you. ورضي الله عنها رضي الله عنه and he used to be her nephew. He said to her, it is no one except you. So she laughed. So he said, why? He was saying that why you were saying that the Prophet ﷺ kissed a woman amongst his wives. He kissed you. So then she laughed because of this statement. Now, I'm not going to do it. continued to pray with their wounds. mention that it was authentically narrated and that Umar radiallahu anhu prayed while his wound was gushing with blood, and that was in the incident when he was stabbed before his death. Taus and Muhammad ibn Ali wa Atta' and other scholars of the Hijaz, they all said there is no wudu with blood. So there is no need to make wudu with blood if blood comes out. Now,
continued in his prayer. So
Hassan, they said regarding the one who does hijama, he is not required except to wash where he had done the hijama. He does not have to do as a purification more than just washing where he, the place where he did the hijama. And Sheikh commented that this is just from the Bab of cleanliness, not out of indicating that it was necessary.
Amma bir
على مسألة يعني مش في الدرس، يعني مسألة الربوع، يعني متى كم مدة وجوبها ومتى يجوز المرأة أن يعني تفطم الولد إذا كانت تريد يعني ذهب للحج خلال يعني الولد يكون عمره سنة ونص. يعني تسأل أخت على مسألة فطام الطفل، متى يعني يجوز لها أن تفطم الطفل، أو يعني إذا أرادت الحج وعمر الطفل سنة ونصف، فهل يجوز لها أن تفطم الطفل بهذا العمر؟ وما حكم يعني أن تفطم الطفل قبل ذلك، أو هل هناك يعني هل يلزمها ربع سنتين، أو هي بالخيار متى تفطم يعني؟
Thank you.
It It's a strong feeling that overcomes the heart and that cuts off the heart from knowing the obvious things around him. So it's a strong feeling that comes over the heart, takes over the heart, and cuts him up cuts his consciousness from the obvious environment, the obvious thing going around him. As for feeling asleep, as being sleepy, not falling asleep, being sleepy and feeling drowsy or sleepy, it is a feeling that it comes on the heart, cuts him from understanding the hidden things around him, not the obvious. He will still have understanding of the obvious, but he won't be able to catch the hidden parts around his environment. And he said, again, this is just a theoretical definition, and the actual reality of how long you slept and how long you've been, it is very difficult, so it is the best to that a person hearing uses will do, and in the Chutbah, especially when it's during the Jummah, I said to go and do it right away, so that he can catch the salah when it's time to pray. And as for the question regarding the tayammum, the Sheikh said that if a person makes a tayammum and he prays, then he finds water, then he doesn't have to pray. He doesn't have to repeat his prayer. So if he does tayammum and he prays, completes his prayer, after that he finds water, it is not required about on him to pray again. However, if he makes tayammum, then he finds water before he prays, then he makes wudu before he prays. And the final question was regarding breastfeeding. What's the duration? And the Sheikh mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever wishes that, what's the required duration of the woman is required to breastfeed her child. And the Sheikh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever wishes to complete the rida'a, the breastfeeding, then go for 2 years. So the 2 years is whoever wishes to complete BASS is the complete course of breastfeeding is 2 years, and whoever wishes that. So it is not an obligation to go for the entire 2 years, but this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates as the full course of breastfeeding, of nursing. And the longer the period the child is breastfeeding, the more he benefits, the more mercy he gets from the mother. And it's up to the mother to decide when it's the good time to wean the child, whenever she feels that he's ready for that, and that the 2 years is not a requirement. And that as for not breastfeeding him and just putting him on formula milk instead of he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put the milk in the breast of the mother, not just foolishly and with no reason. He did subhanahu wa ta'ala for a great wisdom from what comes from it with mercy, and from what comes with from benefit to the child, and that it is not from the taqwa of Allah and the fairness of Allah that a woman does not allow her child to have of this milk, obviously with no reason, with no medical reason, or just plainly choosing not to feed the child and using formula milk or other than that. And by that, we end. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.